The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Touching Lives.
Jesus said, you got it all wrong. Greatness does not stop at start at the top. Greatness starts at the bottom. Greatness is not in how many people you've got serving you. Greatness is in how many people you serve.
Teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need him. This is Touching Lives with James Merritt.
This was in the newspaper last week. People are running out of gas in record numbers. Nearly 1 million motorists a year run out of gas and break down on the side of the road, and that number has risen every year since 2011. Drivers are running out of gas, and they're not learning their lesson. But why? According to a recent study, it's due to stupidity. Seriously. Most motorists say they just decide to ignore the warning light. All the signs are there. The car's fuel gauge falls toward the E. The warning light comes on. The bells and the whistles ring exactly like they're supposed to. But the drivers just keep on driving until the vehicle sputters to a stop. Sheer stupidity. Ladies, you'll love this. The vast majority of the idiots out there are men, okay? They're the ones that let the thing run dry. The question is, does your engine ever quit running? Do your tires ever go flat? You ever feel like that the battery of your life just died? As you're going down the highway of life, do you ever feel like you're just broken down by the side of the road? Some of you are probably saying right now, that's how I feel today. Well, we all need roadside assistance. We all need someone that can come by and come along and help us to refill the tank or refill the tire and restart the engine. So we've been talking about those things that we can do on a daily basis that can help us do just that. You can refuel and re-engage and recharge every single day. And for those of you who missed this series, I'm going to give it to you real quick. We said the first thing you can do is read your Bible every day. Listen to God, hear from God's word every day. The second thing you need to do is take time to spend with God. Just have a time with God where after you read your Bible, you talk to God, you pray to God, and you just listen and hear from God. Then we said last week, the third thing you need to do is get into a group. Get into a small group. Get into a community of people. Get into people that can help you do life together, that can help you shoulder your burdens, bear your problems, encourage you when you need encouraging, and so forth. Now, today, we're going to deal with the last thing that we need to be doing on a daily basis, and I would say as much, if not more, than any of the things we've already talked about, guaranteed, if you'll do this on a daily basis, and by the way, you'll be hard-pressed to find a day you won't get to do this for somebody somewhere. The last thing that we need to do is simply serve other people. If you're on a copy of God's Word, I want you to turn to a gospel called Mark. It's easy to find. It's in the New Testament. Bible's, you know, Old Testament, New Testament. It's in the New Testament. And there's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in Mark chapter 9. Let me tell you what's going on. There's an incident that took place between Jesus and his disciples. And it gave him the opportunity to teach one of the greatest lessons on one thing that will not only get you moving again, but it really is the key to greatness in the eyes of God. Now, before I set all of this up, let me kind of help us on something. We tend to measure greatness totally differently from the way that God measures greatness. When we think about people that we consider great, we usually do it because of one of two kind of measurements that we use. One is accumulation, and the other is accomplishments. So in other words, we look at people who have accumulated a lot. They live in the big house, they drive the nice car, they wear the nice clothes, they've got everything that money could buy, and we think because they're financially successful, we say, you know what, that is a great person. Or we think about accomplishments. They won the award, they won the prize, they got to the top of the heap, they're at the top of the ladder, they're number one on everybody's list, they have fame, everybody knows who they are because of what they have accomplished. So we tend to look at people and say, if they either have a lot or they've done a lot, they are great. There are three things I want you to learn from this story we're going to read in Mark 9. Number one, we should have a willful ambition for service. We should have a willful ambition for service. Now, here's what's going on. Jesus and his disciples, they've been out and they've been ministering to other people. They've been teaching. They've been healing the sick. They've been feeding the hungry. They've been clothing the poor. They've just been out serving other people. And they're coming back to Capernaum for a little rest, for a little bit of a break. And so we pick up the story in verse 33. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Now, there's a little humor here you're going to see in just a moment. This word for argument that's in the English, in the Greek language, is the word that gives us the word dialogue. But they weren't just having a dialogue. They weren't just having a little debate. They were having this very heated, passionate disagreement. Now, the reason there's humor there is because here's evidently what happened. They're walking along the road. Jesus is walking ahead. They think he's out of hearing distance. They don't think he knows what's going on. And so they get into this violent argument about who is the greatest. So Jesus waits. He gets to Capernaum. He said, "By the way, what were you arguing about on the road?" And all of a sudden, they looked at each other and learned something that I want to teach you today, just so you need to know. Jesus always hears. And Jesus always sees. You can whisper. He hears it. You can turn off the lights. He sees it. He always hears and he always sees. And so they're having this fierce argument. In fact, the Greek word, here's the picture. Voices were raised. Veins are popping out. Eyes are protruding. Spit is flying. I mean, they are having one big argument. Who was the greatest? Peter said, "Well, I'm the greatest." John said, "Nope, I'm the greatest." And James said, "Nope, I'm the greatest." And Bartholomew said, "No, I'm the greatest." And Matthew said, "No, I'm the greatest." And Jesus says, "Time out. I want to teach you about true greatness." Now, before I tell you what Jesus says, I want to just kind of clarify something. Jesus never says to the disciples, and he never says to us, that it's wrong to be great. Never says that. I want to make this plain. There is nothing wrong with seeking to be great. It is great to want to be great. Would you say that with me? It is great to want to be great. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Absolutely. In fact, if you're a parent, you ought to want to be the greatest parent you can be. When God called me into the ministry and I finally realized I was going to be a pastor, I don't mind telling you, I said, "God, I want to be the greatest preacher that I can be." If you play sports, you ought to want to be the greatest athlete you can be. If you're a parent, you ought to want your children to be the greatest that they can be. There is nothing wrong with having healthy ambition. And let's just be honest. There's just something in all of us, me included, there's just something in all of us, we want to be at the head of the line. We want to be first. We want to be first in line, first to be chosen, first to be noticed, first to be praised. Every team, trust me on this, every team at the end of the season wants to be the last one standing saying, "We're number one. Tell me about it." Okay? Tell me about it. Okay? We all want to be there. And if you have a healthy psyche, you want to be the best that you can be at something. You want to be great at something. There's something wrong with anybody that says, "Well, I just want to be mediocre." There's something wrong with it. We all ought to want to be great at something. Now, here's the good news. Jesus is going to teach us that everybody can be great at the one thing that is more important than anything else. But before he talks about greatness, he has to correct the way the disciples were thinking about greatness. So he sits the disciples down. He says, "Guys, let's have a little short little lesson here. Let's just do greatness 101. Let me just kind of take you back to the first grade of greatness, because it's not what you think." And so he says something that kind of shocks them. He says, "If you're looking for the best seat, if you want to be first in line, if you want to be great in what you accumulate, or you want to be great in what you achieve," Jesus says, "then you will never be great." If that's the way you want to be great, you will never be great. And what he said next made every jaw hit that hard Palestinian ground. Listen to what he says. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Now the disciples are thinking, excuse me, we were having an argument, but I don't think you heard right. We weren't arguing about who we ought to be serving. We were arguing over who is the greatest. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. If you really have an ambition to be great, then you ought to have an ambition to serve. So yes, one thing to go from bad to good. It's another thing to go from good to great. And the only road that leads to greatness is the one that is paved with the asphalt of service. We ought to have a willful ambition to serve. If what Jesus said is true, right now there ought to be a burning desire in your heart. If you really want to be great in the eyes of God, you ought to be saying to yourself right now, man, I want to serve. I have an ambition to serve. Now, if what Jesus said is true, that leads to a second truth. Not only should we have a willful ambition to serve, actually, we should have a thankful approach to service. A willful ambition for service and a thankful approach to service. Now, on another occasion, Jesus talking about greatness, he said this, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Now, you talk about a shock to their central nervous system. Jesus said, you know what, guys? You're going to approach life in one of two ways. This is true about everybody, every one of us right now. When you walk out your door in the morning, wherever you work, live, play, doesn't matter. When you walk out of the house of your door in the morning, you're going to walk out thinking one of two things. How can I get other people to serve me today? Or how can I find some other people to serve today? You'll always default to one attitude or the other. How can I get people to serve me today? Or how can I serve other people today? Now again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be great if you want to be great the right way. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be first if you understand what first place is. So listen again to what Jesus said. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, you want to be first? You got to be last. You want to be the master? You've got to be the servant of all. He said, okay, guys, here's how it works. How many of you disciples want to be number one? And they all raise their hand. He said, great. Look for every opportunity you can to be number two. In other words, we should be greatly concerned about serving and totally unconcerned about being served. Greatly concerned about serving, totally unconcerned about being served. And let me tell you, so you think about this. Our culture, our communities, our cities, our country, our churches could be dramatically transformed tomorrow if everyone simply adopted the attitude of Jesus who said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And how was he going to serve? And to give his life as a ransom for many. Every time I read that verse, it blows my mind. Because the only human being who ever lived in history who deserved to be served by everybody instead came to serve everybody. It's amazing. He deserved to be served by everyone, but he came to serve everyone else. When I talk to people about their work and their jobs, one of the ways to really get to know people about what they do for a living is a great question to ask. I'll always ask people, so tell me what you like about your job and tell me what you don't like about your job. I mean, you'll get some really fascinating answers. And I don't mind telling you, my job's the same way. I love a lot of what I do as a pastor. Okay, there are a lot of things I love it, I enjoy it, can't wait to do it. There are some things as a pastor I wish I didn't have to do. There are some things as a pastor I just really don't enjoy. And every pastor I've ever talked to feels the same way. And every pastor I've ever talked to has kind of the same frustration. Pastors really do get weary of begging people and pleading with people to find people to serve. We can't find enough people to serve preschoolers and children and students and singles and seniors and recovering addicts and the recently divorced. And we talk about it. We have a little conference we call a Mega Metro conference. We get together. We all talk about it. How do you get volunteers? How do you get people to serve? How do you get people motivated to do something for someone else? And it hit me as I was working on this because the reason for our approach to service is totally wrong. And let me tell you why. If what Jesus said is true, now if you don't believe what Jesus said is true, then the ball game's over. But if what Jesus said is true, and you believe it's true, and you really believe the way to be great in the eyes of God is to serve, if you really believe that, then you ought to be thankful for an opportunity to serve. You ought to be looking for an opportunity to serve. You ought to be looking for ways to serve, because service is not something you have to do. It is something you get to do. You know, you go back and read the four Gospels. I'll tell you, you ought to do this sometime. Go back and read the four Gospels, and you'll find that Jesus had an absolutely perfect record. Absolutely perfect. So what do you mean? Jesus never turned down an opportunity to serve anybody who needed to be served. Never. Not one time. He never said one time, can't do it, too busy, not in the mood, not my job, let somebody else do it. Listen, I've already healed 15 people today. Go see a doctor. He never did that. Every time somebody came to him and needed to be served, he served. That's why he's the greatest person who ever lived. The reason why Jesus is the greatest person who ever lived is because he is the greatest servant who ever lived. Yes, he had the crown of a king, but he had the heart of a servant. You ought to be teaching your kids. You know, everybody wants to be successful. Let me tell you something. The secret to success is service. The secret to success is service. Jesus said, you got it all wrong. Greatness does not start at the top. Greatness starts at the bottom. Greatness is not in how many people you've got serving you. Greatness is in how many people you serve. I mean, it's an incredible thing. You know, Jesus said, if you really want to be great, here's what you'll do. You'll do what I would do. Take the least desired position. Do the job nobody else wants to do. Find the worst seat in the house. The great poet Henry Longfellow said this. He said, most people would succeed in small things if they were not troubled with great ambition. So true. Most people would succeed in small things if they were not troubled with great ambition. See, the one thing that sets Christian leadership apart from worldly leadership is servant leadership. The greatest leaders who ever lived, the reason why they lead so greatly is because they serve. Leonard Bernstein was the conductor for the New York Symphony Orchestra for many years. And toward the end of his career, he sat down for an interview in one of the news stations there, and they asked him a question. They said, well, here's a question for you. They said, what is the most difficult position of the orchestra to play? What's the most difficult thing to do? And he said, oh, without even hesitation, he said, well, I'll tell you that. He said, the toughest instrument to play is second fiddle. And they said, you mean, is that harder than the bassoon? He said, yep. Is that harder than the piccolo? Yep. Is that harder than the trumpet? He said, "Yep." They said, "Why?" Well, he said, "It's not tougher physically; it's tougher emotionally." And they said, "But why?" He said, "Because nobody wants to be second fiddle. Everybody wants to be first fiddle. Nobody wants the second chair. Everybody wants the first chair." And Jesus comes along and says, you know what? Greatness doesn't come from what you accumulate and how much you have. Greatness doesn't come in what you accomplish, many awards you win. It's not found in the power that you hold. It's not found in the possessions that you own. It's not found in the place that you live. It's not found in the position that you have. It is found in the people you serve. That's the great people in the eyes of God. So if that's true, we ought to have a thankful approach to service. Well, if we have a willful ambition for service and we take a thankful approach to service, then we will have a joyful attitude in service. Now, I want to put two statements side by side. Now, I know you're probably sick of hearing them, but I want to really drive it home. I want to take two statements, put them side by side, listen to them one more time. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be last and the servant of all. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Now, one thing we can't disagree on today, Jesus could not have made this any simpler. He could not have made it any plainer. He said, you want to go to the front of the line, right? Yes, I do. He said, great. Get to the back of the line. He said, let me make sure you understand. The world says the way to greatness is to become a star. Jesus said, no, the way to greatness is to become a servant. And let me tell you, he took our sin. He accepted our punishment. He died our death. He took our condemnation so that he could come to us in a servant's apron and on a silver platter serve us forgiveness, serve us grace, serve us love, and serve us eternal life. That's why I love him so. That's why he is, nobody else even deserves to be called great except Jesus. Yeah, give him a hand. Nobody else even deserves to be called great except Jesus. And listen, knowing, I get chill bumps thinking about this right now, I really do. Knowing how Jesus has served us, how can we not serve him with a willful ambition? How can we not serve him with a thankful approach? How can we not have a joyful attitude when we return that service to him? So I'll close with this. A mom came up to me and she said, hey, Pastor, I just want you to know. She said, Christmas Eve, our little 10-year-old daughter is going to be baptized. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, what's her name? She said, her name is Carson. And I said, you know what? I said, is Carson around? She said, well, yeah, she's right over here. I said, well, bring Carson over here. I want to see her. And so I said, I want to have my picture made with her. Okay, so this is a picture of me with Carson right here. That's Carson, little 10-year-old, beautiful little girl right there, okay? Now, the reason why the mother wanted me to meet Carson is not because she was getting baptized. That's not why. The reason why she wanted me to meet Carson is because of the note that Carson had written her about being baptized. And when she showed me the note, I said, can I get a picture of that? And I just want to share with you, this is the note that Carson wrote before she got baptized. I know Jesus died for my sins, and he lives in my heart, and he is my Lord and Savior. I want to tell others about Jesus and always help others. Now, let me tell you something. That little girl's going somewhere. That little girl's destined for greatness. God, I told her this. I said, Carson, God has some unbelievable plans for you. You can't even imagine what God has in store for you. I said, you're going to be not just successful, Carson. If you keep that up, you're going to be eternally successful. Well, you can imagine, her eyes got that big. And she said, wow. She said, how do you know? I said, because Jesus said, when you want to serve other people, you're great. When you want to help other people, you're great. When you want to point people to Jesus, you are great. And what she was saying was, you know what I want to do when I grow up? When I see somebody with a flat tire and they're bawling their eyes out and they've got their hands praying to God, and all they can hear is AAA, I want to give some roadside assistance. When I drive by and, yeah, some dumb man has let his car run out of gas, I want to be the one to go down to the service station, get the gallon of gas, come back and put it in his tank so he can go again. And I'm leaving you with this. You've got to decide whether or not Jesus told the truth or not. That's up to you. But if he did, then when you answer the call to service, when you say, Lord, here am I, when you say, give me a need, I'll meet it, give me a person, I'll serve them, when you do that, here's what you'll find. Your tank will be full, your battery will be charged, and you will enjoy your trip down the highway of life like you never have before.
Stay tuned for a final word from Dr. Marin.
Of all the things that I do every year, there's nothing that I look forward to more or enjoy more than our annual Mountaintop Conference that's held in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. We're up in Pigeon Forge, and it's one of my absolute favorite places to go, and it's one of my absolute favorite events of the entire year, and it's a fantastic way to kick off the Christmas season. If you've been before, you already know what a great time it is. We worship, we fellowship, we laugh, we sing, and we listen to preaching and God's Word, and we're going to do all of that again this year. It won't be an exception. But here's what I want you to hear. We're going to be joined by Bart Millard of Mercy Me, who will be sharing with us his personal testimony, which was the inspiration for the song and the hit movie, I Can Only Imagine. If you've not seen that movie, you need to see it. It's one of the best movies I've seen in years. And that song, by the way, is the best-selling Christian song of all time. We'll get to meet the man that wrote it and have a great time. By the way, your registration also includes a ticket to Dollywood and Dolly Parton's Smoky Mountain Adventures Dinner Show, which is always great. So if you've never been to Mountaintop, I want to encourage you to join us this year for some great fellowship and a lot of fun. To begin planning your trip to Mountaintop, go to our website at touchinglives.org or call us at 1-800-413-1131. Make your reservations. I will see you there. It's going to be fantastic. Let's get honest. Our human nature desires that we be the first, the best, and be served rather than serve others. We strive towards selfish goals. We get lost in the world's view of things rather than seeking God's view. Well, God's Word teaches that one of the greatest things that will fill our lives with joy and peace is when you serve other people. Contrary to what the world believes, Jesus said the greatest one of all is the one who is serving rather than the one who is being served. We've come to the end of this series called Refuel. So I just want to close with a very important question. Are you serving Jesus? Are you serving Him with the right spirit, the right heart, the right motive? Because if you know Jesus and you are serving Him, it's truly wonderful and you're most blessed. But if you would admit you're not yet a believer, you can't serve a Jesus you don't know, but you would like to know a Jesus you can serve, call us right now, 1-800-413-1131. We've got people standing by right now who would love to share with you the greatest news you'll ever hear, and that is how to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So thanks so much for tuning in to Touching Lives. I do appreciate your financial support and your prayers, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.
Touching Lives, teaching people everywhere who Jesus is and why they need Him. This program is sponsored by Touching Lives Ministries and is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.